Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
Off the road, the T-Birds are ready for their first home games of the month of February. T-Birds add another prospect of the fold, and a former T-Bird returns for a tournament coming up later this month. Let's talk about it next on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette.
Welcome to this week's edition of the show. The T-Birds starting the month of February with three games on the road, going 1-1-1. They're home for their first two home games of the month. It begins Saturday at 6 against the Everett Silvertips. That is the T-Birds' first responder night, Boys and Girls Scout night, and Parents Weekend as well. T-Birds also home Sunday. They'll host the Prince George Cougars on Docks and Toyota Beginner Fest, and of course, Parents Weekend continues. The T-Birds looking to bounce back after earning just 1 of 4 points on the road up from Prince George. Welcome Everett in this weekend. They continue their climb for the playoffs. And to talk about it, we bring in the head coach, Matt Odette. Well, Matt, I'm sure you would prefer to get more than just the 1 point of the two games that you just played up in Prince George midweek, earning the point in the shootout. Wednesday, two games, 120 minutes of hockey. I'm sure you're probably happy with about 90 minutes of that. You know, the first half of the first game was a slow start. You got behind a little bit before you recovered. But, and then game two, you just run into a goaltender who's maybe one of the best in the league right now.
Yeah, he was really good. I thought the first game, like you said, the first half of the game wasn't up to our standards. To spot them a 3-goal lead. Was not part of the plan. We didn't quite have our legs under, so I don't know if the travel had anything to do with that. But, we didn't deserve to win that game. But the next night, I thought we did. Did a lot of good things, executed the game plan, and their goalie was really good. Couldn't beat him enough.
This is something we have talked about previously, and that is the what we kind of look as a disparity maybe in the penalties in some of the games in which you feel that your team is driving the play and has the puck possession. You are, and just to be fair, you're not disputing the penalties that your guys are taking, but you think maybe there's some penalties that are missed that you're not getting the benefit of the doubt on.
Yeah, it's frustrating, that's for sure. It's happened several times to us. Last night's game, I thought we carried the play. For the discrepancy to be 5-1 is a head scratcher, and it's, usually I say, hey, it's not the ones that we're getting called, it's the ones that they're not getting called. But I think it was both last night. We had some phantom calls that, you're scratching your head and it's like, how do we get a penalty there? And then multiple times where they probably warranted a call against them and it didn't happen. So it's frustrating. I don't know why it is. I'll be submitting some clips to the league and looking for an explanation, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the unfortunate part about it, if you look at those two games, you scored three power play goals, and one of those was your only goal in that second game. So, maybe another power play in game two might have given you a chance to win that game in regulation.
Yeah, exactly. I thought our power play was doing some good things. With another opportunity, could have been the difference in the game. I thought we deserved more there, and we're used to it, but put it that way. We're used to ending up on the wrong side of the things as far as officiating, but what can you do?
You did earn a point, and that's points now in 7 of your last 10 games. I know that Prince George sliced into your lead for that 8th and final playoff spot, got it down to 7, but you're not just looking behind you. You're also looking ahead of you because Kelowna is just a few points in front of you for that first wild card spot.
Yeah, we're starting to jumble up a little bit here and tighten up. So, we got some big games coming up against PG at home that we can take care of some business there. But yeah, like you said, we're trying to hold off some teams behind us and reel in some teams ahead of us. So still a lot of hockey to go and things will sort itself out, but we're taking it one game at a time, looking to get points.
I think we talked on last week's show about how the young guys are starting to kind of feel their way now and be a part of this team and no longer kind of in that rookie mode. They're very
significant parts of your roster. They're eating up big minutes for you. And another guy has jumped up recently in a way that we haven't seen him before. We've kind of looked at Cade McNelly as that physical presence on the ice, and sometimes it leads to some penalties. Maybe they're not warranted, but he's starting to find an offensive part to his game. He scored a highlight reel goal in Tuesday's game that sparked your comeback in that game, and you eventually lost it. And then he almost won it for you last night in the third period. He rang one off the post that was off the inside of the post and unfortunately just kicked out. But he's got some confidence right now in his offensive game.
Yeah, and he's put in a lot of work. You know, he's worked really hard to improve his game and improve his skill set, and he does have a knack offensively. He can make plays. He knows when to kind of join the play at the right times. At times a little too much. He's a little bit too excited, but he's got a knack for it. For sure he does, and he's good on that offensive blue line. He's got a good shot. He can get those through to the net, and, you know, it's just a nice progression to his game. He gets room from his physical presence, and he puts that room to good use with his skills.
Yeah, you mentioned he gets excited to jump up and join now that he's found some of that offensive touch, and he got the highlight of the night Tuesday for his Spinorama a goal. But, you know, that's part of coaching up a guy like that, too. When he gets that excited, he wants to do more to keep him kind of on that rope to make sure he's staying within the game plan.
Yeah, for sure. And I thought the play that he made was a smart time to go. He had a good head of steam there. D had a bad gap, and he attacked their defenseman and made a play. You know, it's just finding the right times to do it, picking your spots, and for the most part, that's been really good from him. But it's just, you know, not overdoing it and making sure you're taking care of the defensive side as well.
And recently you've paired him up with Simon Kubicek. What's that chemistry that you found between those two on that pairing?
Well, I think they complement each other well. You know, Hags put those guys together and they've clicked. You know, it's I think they're good friends. They get along well off the ice, which leads to some chemistry on the ice. And just one of those things, just like a forward line where you mix it up and all of a sudden things snap together. And that's how it's been with them as a pairing.
I think some fans might wonder, you know, you go down to Portland and you win that game. They're the top team in the West. Then you take on a PG team that's behind you in the standings and you come short on two nights. You know, why does that happen? But we've said it so many times. In the Western Hockey League, there are no gimme games. And PG's fighting for their playoff lives. They got back into the chase with the points they earned. But there's no game where you can just say, well, that's going to be an easy win for us. And you know that as a coach. And sometimes you have to explain that to your players too, don't you?
Yeah, that's certainly the case. You know, all the teams are capable of, you know, any team's capable of beating another team on any given night. And, you know, like you said, PG's fighting there for their playoff lives. And, you know, I thought the first game, yeah, I think they had a little bit more urgency than we did. You know, I think the second game was a little bit more indicative of how we match up against these guys. But, yeah, that's the parity of the WHL. You know, it's a little bit different when we're playing against our rivals most of the time in raucous buildings. You know, obviously the PG game's not so raucous as far as environment. But we have to find ways to answer the bell for those games. And then the Tuesday game, we did not do that. And, you know, when it cost us points.
The coach will rejoin us later on in the second half of the program. While the T-Birds were up in Prince George this week, they added another prospect to the fold, signing Prince George native Niko Mijatovic to a Western Hockey League standard player agreement. We caught up to the newest member of the family in his hometown. This week, the T-Birds announced the signing of their fourth draftee from their 2019 Bantam draft this past spring. Sixth-round draft pick Niko Mijatovic is now a member of the T-Bird family, and he joins us here. First of all, Niko, congratulations. It's always a big decision when you decide to put your name on that agreement to be starting your venture into the Western Hockey League, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, you were drafted in the sixth round by Seattle last spring. Is it something you thought ahead of time about, you know, where you might get picked and who you might go to, and what thoughts were going through your head when you found out that you were drafted by a team down south of the border?
I was super excited, honestly. Knowing Seattle and what it has to offer, I think I can see myself playing here in the future, and also just being there and living there as well.
Now, you did attend training camp last August, so you got a taste of the area. What did you think about just the area in itself, not so much about training camp? We'll talk about that a little bit, but just going down there, I'm sure you brought, you know, probably mom or dad, one of the two, if not both, came down with you to look over the place as well.
Yeah. I thought it was great. Like I said before, I see myself living down there, and when I went down there, it just reassured me that, you know, it's somewhere where I can feel comfortable as well as play hockey.
Had you ever been down to that part of the world before training camp? And a lot of, you know, the BC Canadians like to go down to the baseball game there when the Toronto Blue Jays come to town. Do you have a better chance to go down for something like that?
No, not until training camp. I went to a Blue Jays and Seattle game when I was down there, but not till training camp.
Now, as we mentioned, you were a sixth-round Bannon pick by Seattle, but you did play for Team BC at the WHL Cup. You had a couple of assists in that tournament, and, you know, usually when you get those kind of honors, get to play for your provincial team, whether it's, you know, the WHL Cup or the under-16, it's usually those high-end draft picks, but you were a sixth-round pick. I know that there was at least, if not more than one, but one or two first-round Bantam selections from BC who didn't make that team. So that's quite an honor for you.
Yes, it was. Going down to provincial camp, I had in the back of my mind that I just had to go down there and play my game, and I think I came back with great results, which led to me being picked on the team.
Well, let's talk about your first training camp this past August, and again, a lot of picks were there. Seattle had 13 selections in the Bantam draft last spring. A lot of the high picks, they had two first-rounders, a couple of second-round picks as well. So there are a lot of guys that could be looked at as potential future players, but they liked what they saw from you and what they're seeing from you in your season here as well, that they went ahead and signed you fairly quickly.
Yeah, I was super excited when they approached me about it. You know, as soon as I got drafted, I thought to myself that that's my next goal, is obviously being offered a contract, and once it happened, I was super excited.
And you get to make the official announcement that you're a part of the T-Bird family in your hometown as well, in Prince George, so that probably felt good as well. I know there was I don't want to say a horde, but there were at least three or four local media there to kind of bombard you with questions after the announcement was made.
Yeah, obviously it was touched on by the media, like you said, and as well as at school, you know, my friends and family were congratulating me once the news came out, so it was great.
Well, you're playing locally, right, with the Caribou Cougar and having a good season. I looked at your numbers. From not Seattle's perspective, but from your perspective, what would you like your timeline to be? Obviously, you'd be eligible to play full-time next year with Seattle. Is that a goal of yours? What is your timeline? What do you think it will be?
Well, when I go down to camp, obviously, I'm going down there to make the team as a 16-year-old. If that doesn't happen, then obviously I'll come back and have another great year of development and hopefully crack it as a 17-year-old. But, yeah, my goal going into camp is to make the team.
And just lastly, give the fans who are going to be watching you in that T-Bird jersey, if not next year, the following year, the idea of what kind of a player you are.
Well, I like to think that I'm a smart player who is a great passer and is able to find my teammates on the ice. So,
well, again, congratulations on first being drafted by Seattle and now signing your player agreement to be part of the T-Bird family. Looking forward to seeing you in the future down there at the Accesso Showwear Center.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Speaking of Prince George, they are in town this Sunday. The T-Birds up in Prince George earlier this week for a pair of games. While we were up there, we checked in with longtime media member in the Prince George area, Hartley Miller, about the team's history in the North. Now, Hartley, you have been here since the Cougars have been here. Kind of give us some of the highlights of the tenure. I know there have been some lean time, but there were some exciting times. I was not with the T-Birds when they played the Cougars back in the 97 playoffs, but I hear from fans and players who were involved in that playoff series, and they said this building was crazy during that playoff series.
Well, it was, you know, one of the big upsets that happened in the WHL. Portland was number one overall. They were just a stacked team, and then they went against Prince George. And the Cougars, they probably underachieved in the regular season, because if you look at the 97 Cougar team, they had Chris Mason in goal. They had DeChera. They had DeBrewer. They had Blair Betts. All guys that went on to the NHL. Joel Kwiatkowski was on that team. He had some NHL time. Yet the Cougars, you know, they had a great start. They had a bad Prairie trip that particular year, and they said, well, you know, we're just going to rest and wait for the playoffs. And they caught Portland at that particular time, and after they got a split of the first two games in Portland, which was a surprise to everybody, then all of a sudden Prince George went crazy. They bought their tickets within 1 minute. It was sold out. It became a frenzy. Eventually, the Cougars pulled off a major upset. They knocked out the Winterhawks in six. Then they went up against the Spokane Chiefs, coached by Mike Babcock at that time. They swept them, which was a good old best of five at that time. And waiting in the wings was the Seattle Thunderbirds, coached by Don Nackbar at that time. And that was a big advantage for Seattle, having the big bye and the big rest. Well, Prince George had three tough games against Spokane. They expended all their energy against Portland. They didn't have a lot left against Seattle. You know, Patrick Marleau and the Thunderbirds back in those days. Seattle won that in six. They got to the WHL final at that time. It took another 10 years to 2007 before the Cougars had another run where they won a couple of series, got to the Western Conference final. But other than that, you know, you take a look here at CN Center, you only see one banner, and that is from, you know, 2017-16-17 season, where they did have the big year. They ended up in the first place by 1 point over Kelowna, but basically they went wire to wire, but then they were upset by Portland, how things came back.
We'll step away. When we come back in the second half of the show, we'll be rejoined by the head coach, Matt Audette. Also rejoined by a former T-Bird, Jason Beckett, will be back in his old stomping grounds. He's bringing his elite Bantam team to the tournament here in a couple of weeks, and he'll join us in the second half of the show here on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
And we are back ahead of a two-game homestand for Seattle this weekend. Everett on Saturday at 6, and then Prince George at 5 o'clock on Sunday. Coming up in a couple of weeks, the T-Birds win the Western Hockey League, hosting that elite Bantam tournament here in Kent at both the Accesso Showwear Center and over at Kent Valley Ice Arena. Former T-Bird Jason Beckett, he was a defenseman for this team back in the late 90s. He's bringing his Bantam team to that tournament down from the Okanagan. We had a chance to catch up with him about a week ago and ask him about bringing that team down to the tournament. The Western Hockey League, in partnership with the NHL Seattle Group and Visit Kent, announced earlier this year the inaugural Western Hockey League U.S. Challenge Cup. This is a premier tournament for Bantam AAA hockey teams coming right here to Kent, February 20th to the 23rd. It'll be at the Accesso Showwear Center and over at the Kent Valley Ice Arena. You can go online, the T-Birds website. You can take a look at the schedule for that tournament. As we said, it begins Friday, February 21st, and it features 12 of the top-ranked Bantam teams from the Western United States and Canada. And one of those teams coming is bringing an old friend with them. The Okanagan Rockets are coached by a former T-Bird. Defenseman Jason Beckett was a T-Bird between 1997 and 2000, and he joins us to talk about the team he's bringing, about his time here, and about this upcoming tournament that's taking place in just a little bit down here in the Kent area. Jason, welcome. Appreciate you taking your time to be on the program with us today.
Yeah, thanks very much. Pleasure to be a part of it.
Now, as we said, you were a T-Bird for about three seasons. And I hope when you come down, Jason, you get a chance to tour the facilities here at the Accesso Showwear Center where the T-Birds now play. I went down below in the locker room. They've got all the team photos from over the years. And there's three of them, and you're in those. One of them's even signed. So I hope you get a chance to go back and look at that and reflect on your time. What do you remember most about the time you spent as a T-Bird back there in the late 90s?
There's, you know, so many great memories. It's Seattle, the area there is just such an amazing place to spend 3 years. You know, I remember, you know, just simple driving down to play my games at the Key Arena, downtown Seattle, from a small town. So that was quite an experience. I remember those New Year's Eve games against our rivals, the Portland Winterhawks, sold out crowds. I remember good times on the bus playing cards. You know, playing with some just amazing elite hockey players and playing against some amazing hockey players, and just the travel, the good times, the competitive hockey, and just, yeah, great memories all around for sure.
And it's odd because at that time, Key Arena had just been remodeled a few years before you came. And now that building, as it existed then, does not exist anymore, except for the roof. Right now they've just dug a big pit of dirt for the remodel for the upcoming NHL franchise. So, hopefully you hang on to those memories because you can't go back and look there. I'm sure you're excited to come back. Have you had a chance over the years? I know you played professionally for about 10 seasons after being a second-round pick in the 1998 NHL entry draft by the Flyers. You played a lot of your time in the AHL and finished up overseas. But have you had a chance at all to come back to the area since you played here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a place that I look in for an opportunity. Even if I get a layover, I'll jump on a train and head downtown Seattle and check out Pike Place Market. And fortunate, about 5 years ago, a bunch of us came down and we caught a game, sort of like a reunion thing. We caught a game, we shot some pucks out in between intermissions and watched and saw the new arena, the show we're placed there. Just an amazing facility, pretty cool place. I Key Arena was pretty special to me, but I see that facility there and I'm pretty amazed by it for sure.
You mentioned it was a reunion of sorts. Obviously you keep in touch with some of your former T-Bird teammates from those late 90s teams.
Yeah, I mean, I lived on the island for a little bit with and hung out a lot with Nate Forrester. He's been a real big key part of keeping us together at times, and so we all came down. I think there was about seven of us that could make it, and we had a little reunion and, you know, brought our significance and hung out, watched games, and it was pretty fun.
Now, as we mentioned, the reason you're coming back is for this Bantam tournament that's taking place, the inaugural WHL U.S. Challenge Cup. Fans are interested can go online to get the details on the schedule, which is now up on the T-Birds website. It's between February 20th and the 23rd at both the Accesso Showwear Center and over at the Kent Valley. And you're coming down with the Okanagan Rockets for this elite Bantam AAA tournament. What kind of team are you bringing down? I looked at the record, great season that team is having. I'm sure you've got some prospects for the Western Hockey League on that team, but tell us a little bit about the team you're bringing down for this tournament.
Yeah, it's a team built within, you know, all the communities within the Okanagan. We have players representing Penticton, the Vernon area, Kelowna, West Kelowna, Kamloops, Salmon Arm. So it's a pretty big draw area. We've got definitely some talented young hockey players. We've got a good size. We can play a kind of a fast skill game, yet also heavy when necessary. And we play, you know, kind of a system that's pretty exciting, I think. And we like to play offensive, have fun, but also know how to protect our own net. That's for sure.
And these tournaments are certainly big gauges for your peer group if you're playing Bantam AAA. How many tournaments does a team like Okanagan participate in, and how important is this tournament to your team?
Well, it's pretty exciting. I mean, we've already been at the John Reed, which is a pretty prestigious tournament to be a part of, and that was a good challenge for us. We currently play in a league where, you know, we're sitting in first place. The teams are always getting better. They're giving us more and more challenges, but this definitely puts us up against, you know, a lot where the prospects are, you know, the academies as well as some of the Alberta teams, but definitely excited to play, you know, these teams that these kids probably wouldn't have a chance to play otherwise, you know, with the LA Junior Kings and stuff like that. Like, it's pretty exciting. Definitely, I think it's an opportunity for our kids to scale themselves, to see where they're at within their peer group, which is important. They're a motivated group of kids. So I think even, you know, with setbacks or whatever that might happen, they're always going to work hard. They're always going to put in the effort. I mean, the Okanagan is a pretty competitive place. So these kids put a lot of work outside the rink. They do a lot of extra training, a lot of skill work in the off season. So they're definitely motivated, excited to be a part of this. And I think they'll show really well.
And as you come down for this tournament coming up later this month, you get a chance to come back to the area. But having played in the Western Hockey League and having played down in the States in the Western Hockey League, are your players questioning you, trying to get answers from you about what it's like to play in the WHL, and some of them possibly could come down and play for one of the five teams based in the U.S. division? Do they ask you questions about what it's like playing down here below the border there in the U.S. division?
You know, to be honest, I think for most of these kids, they know more about it than I do. I mean, the divisions now are so amazing. The travels even improved with the addition of Vancouver and Everett, which weren't around when I played. And, you know, these kids know everything. There's not much necessary for questions about the practicality of it. They all, you know, have it in their mind that they want to play junior. These are all motivated kids that, you know, if they're on this team, they should have some goals to play junior hockey. Most of it, you know, they're directed towards the Western League and they are focused on that. Of course, they, you know, right now there's that time where they're thinking, what are their options? And so the Western League provides, you know, they've always provided, you know, good school packages, and they provide an amazing venues and amazing opportunities for kids to live in some amazing places. So they're quite informed compared to when I was pretty naive, just picked up my bags and showed up and drove all the way down to the States type thing. Their questions are, yeah, they're pretty aware of how competitive it is to make it when you're there, how competitive it is to stay there. But, you know, we just try to, again, continually develop their skills, their abilities, their mental skills as well. So that's just trying to give them, I feel like my job is like a journalist. I try to give them all my experiences, learn more, and try to give them as much of the information that I can, and then they take it and run with it.
You know, one of the impetuses for this tournament, you mentioned the players up north of the border, they're kind of more familiar with the Western Hockey League than the players down in the States, who are probably more familiar maybe with the NC2A route. So some of these teams, these U.S. teams, these elite Bantam teams from the U.S. coming here, get a taste of playing at a WHL building and being around a WHL game that night. It's a Seattle-Portland game that's highlighting this tournament, the big rivalry that you talked about. And, of course, one of the sponsors of this is NHL Seattle. They're bringing in an expansion team to Seattle. Are you excited about that? What do you think about the NHL coming to Seattle here?
Well, I mean, it seems like it's taken too long, really. It's an amazing community there. Obviously, it's a great place that players will definitely want to play. You know, there's lots of activities and sports and stuff like that. Like, you have the Seahawks and you have the MLS and you have the baseball. And it just seems like a no-brainer that eventually they'd come back. I was there when the Sonics were there. So great sport culture. And, you know, it's just sports are great for community. And I'm just happy that, you know, hockey is there to, again, reach a new group of people, to give them the opportunity to play a sport that they can, you know, learn great life lessons. And I think it was a matter of time. I think definitely with its proximity to Vancouver and the other Western Conference now, you know, with lots of Stanley Cups being won in California, you know, there'd definitely be more and more interest. And to be honest, when you're there, the pocket of people that know the game, love the game, and it's amazing. But I think the enthusiasm, I still remember my science teacher from my high school come to my class, and he was just enamored. He's never seen a game, and he had so many questions. He was like a little kid asking me, like, why are there guys coming on and off? And he's just taken back by just the speed and the pace of the game. So I know if there's new fans there, when they come out and watch, they'll fall in love with that game and see the excitement. And again, get to know the players. I think that's the big part of the game now, is that athletes are really involved in communities.
Well, Jason, we certainly look forward to you and your team from the Okanagan coming down for the inaugural WHL U.S. Challenge Cup between February 20th and 23rd here at the Accesso Shower Center, also over at Kent Valley Ice Center. Look forward to your return back here, and I'm sure you'll love the fact that, as we said, the highlight of it is a Seattle-Portland rivalry game. But certainly appreciate you taking your time out to talk about the tournament and your team coming down.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's going to be an exciting time for me and for my players. Look forward to it.
And before we go, it is time to bring back in the head coach, Matt Audette. T-Birds playing their first home game of the month of February, two of them on the weekend. In fact, first up is the game on Saturday against the Everett Silvertips, and then Sunday the game against Prince George. Both very key games on the schedule. We're down to under 20 games now left to go in that playoff chase, and we talked about it the first half. You've earned points in 7 of 10. That's the mode. You want to earn those points. You want to not only hold your spot in the eighth position, but you're looking to climb higher.
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, our schedule is difficult, but we're in a similar spot last year. I think we're probably in a better spot at this point in the season than we were last year as far as playoff positioning. Yeah, it's one game at a time. You know, we got two big games at home this weekend. You know, a rivalry game Saturday, and then a game against the team that's chasing us, and a team that we've kind of renewed some, I guess, some hostilities. We'll be fired up to play that game on Sunday. So one game at a time, one weekend at a time, and we're trying to get points.
For the most part this season, outside of one game, you've played very tough against Everett. The 8-0 game, obviously, is the one that is kind of the outlier. But even in the second game there in the recent two where you were shut out 2-0 here, you played a really good game but could not get the puck in the back of the net. Again, another tough goaltender in Wolf that you'll face. You just faced another one on the two games up in PG. You'll face him again, I'm sure, coming up Sunday. Again, it's just a matter of funneling pucks on net against these guys.
Yeah, you have to trade multiple opportunities. The one-and-done type plays are difficult to beat these caliber goalies with. You need traffic. You need to create rebounds, second and third opportunities, and just keep pounding the stone. When it's not going in for you, you just got to keep at it, keep getting traffic to the net, and look for breakthrough.
And again, if you don't like playing this time of the year with what's at stake, then there's something wrong. And these are going to have some high intensity to them.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of, you get to Christmas and then there's you're excited for about a month coming out of the break. The guys are full of energy. And then there's a little bit of a dog days to the season. And we're just kind of going through those, I think, right now. And then it ramps back up and you can see and feel the weather change, and then it's the playoff drive, stretch drive, and then into the playoffs. So let's get into that exciting point of the season where the energy picks up, the intensity picks up, and everyone's gunning for those playoff spots.
Well, two on the weekend, the first Saturday against Everett. We'll see you against the Tips here at the Accesso Shower Center.
All right, thanks, Tom.
That will wrap up this week's edition of the Weekly Coaches Show. Again, thanks to the head coach, Matt Odette, along with all our guests, including Jason Beckett, Nico Majatovic, and Hartley Miller. The T-Birds with a pair of games on home ice this weekend. Saturday against Everett at 6:05. Sunday, Prince George in town at 5:05. You can get tickets online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. So join us this weekend for a pair of games right here on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey, 1090 KJR.